Are you looking for a podcast about pro football that doesn't put you to sleep with an avalanche of analytics or insult your fandom with brainless hot takes? Well, hi. I'm Dan Hanzus.
And I'm Mark Sessler.
Oh, hi, Mark. And we're the hosts of Heed the Call, the NFL podcast you've been waiting your whole life for.
Heed the Call covers every game, every storyline, everything that matters, and we do it all with a touch of mirth.
Football is fun. Why shouldn't your football podcast be the same?
Follow and listen to Heed the Call NFL podcast wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, everybody. It is Tobin and Leroy here with you. We are live from Miami Heat Media Day as we take you guys up until 2 here on the program.
Are you sure?
What? You done? Am I sure about
any,
what?
Any other mischief you need to get into before we get out of here?
I mean, you just housed down a mix of cheddar mix? What was that?
That was...
You were getting into mischief, not me.
Hey.
That was munchies.
Munchies. I love munchies. I like the hot munchies.
Okay.
They didn't have... that wasn't available.
Can we talk about how Frog Boy has set up an obstacle course out in the midst of the...
Is anyone actually doing anything with it?
No.
Okay.
No, I haven't seen anybody.
I wanted to make sure.
I haven't seen anybody participate in his shenanigans. None of it. None of it. It's been. You want to take like? Can we here? I'll give. I'll put the stream out on my phone, JFig. If you can go
for sure.
Show the people what this idiot is up to.
Have you seen how he decorated the room too?
No, he's ridiculous.
He brought lights.
What is he doing?
He's just a prop man. Like this is just what he's gotten into now. Like this is what he likes to do.
Look, the only thing people care about, have you played dominoes with Bam yet?
He's actually on the podium right
now. Nah, I don't think I'm going to do it this year.
I think that's a recording.
Or, you know what? Yeah, that's right.
But I think I will be talking trash to him if he come on through. Or if I go in the hallway y'all hear some screaming or something, I'm not a coward. Ain't no shame in my game.
Just enter that studio, JFig. You should be good to show people. What
the caption's crazy.
I just referred to him as Idiot Frog Boy.
Okay.
But you can go show the people what this guy is up to. He's like set up an obstacle course like with props, and I don't think anybody wants to do that today. But he feels in some type of way like that he wants that to happen. Like, oh hey, come on, do my thing. Hold on.
Oh, I'm getting dizzy.
Yeah. Hold on. Jennifer's walking out into the hallway right now. I see Frog Boy there. He's set up. This guy is just a complete. He's just something.
Oh, go back to Mr. Suit and Booty Pants.
What is he doing? This is absolutely ridiculous.
Solana, look.
Oh, Solana with the get up.
Yeah,
that's something. Oh, I see Victor Bermudez there. What's going on,
yeah.
Vic? Executive producer of the Hurricanes broadcast. But did you see the? You see what I mean? With having the props. There you go. He also brought the most deflated, sad Nerf ball here.
The problem is, it's too light.
Yeah.
It's too light.
It's too light. It's ridiculous.
Oh, gosh.
All right. Thank you, Jennifer. Appreciate that. She's walking her way back into the studio. But, yeah, you can see. Like, he's like, hey, how can I make this about me?
Oh, no, he's got lights. Look.
Oh. Did he put those lights there, or those lights were there?
He put those lights there, guys.
Wow. All right. He's something, this Frog Boy.
What is he? Who is he interviewing?
I don't know.
And then these right here.
Ask him, did Spo participate in his shenanigans? Because I'm going to guess no.
Absolutely not.
Did he even have the guts to ask him?
He did not.
No.
All right. Well, let's get to our headlines brought to you by Doral Kia. Doral Kia, home of the Pricito, our lowest price. Visit them at Doral Kia or DoralKia.com. The Miami Marlins defeated the Mets yesterday 4-0, eliminated them from the playoffs. That was good.
Why is Solana in a suit? Always extra.
I don't know. Maybe he has to take a photo for the broadcast today. Maybe that's what he's got going on.
Oh, boy. I'm telling you what, I'm excited about the Heat. I know I give you a hard time about preseason football.
Mm-hmm.
I really can't watch preseason basketball.
Why?
It's nothing to see.
Nah, it's not true. We got battles. We got a center battle. You know,
everybody plays.
We got Jaime versus.
It's not like a starting quarterback thing.
Not everybody plays, and we got to know what the roles are, dude. You know?
Dude, that sport rotation is fluid.
That's true.
So it's the only team in sports I ever watched that you can have 20 points and not play for three games. So, like, yeah, what does preseason have to do with that?
You got to earn it.
I guess.
You got to earn it.
20 is not enough.
That's how it's going to go.
I'm excited for it. I'm excited for Wiggins.
Me too.
I mean, he just – his personality is laid back, but he's really not.
You know what he got serious about, though? Canada.
Yeah.
He don't mess with it. He's like, oh, yeah.
No, no. No. Canadians are
real. You
think
Canada's going to win a gold medal eventually? They got Shea.
Yeah, but
they need a big. Like that's
they don't have them dudes, right?
They like have the dude.
They got the okay, and the U.S. had LeBron.
I know, but dude, think about how old we're getting.
I know we're getting old. That's
and we needed the old guys to save us the last.
No,
time
that, but that's what I'm saying. But until that changes,
I don't know. You're not nervous.
You got LeBron and Steph and KD. Like, come on, man.
Old guys that
KD
are going
to be. KD didn't even play this year, did he?
No. He played in the middle of the Olympics. Yeah, he was great.
Right.
KD was great.
But understand that. So I take those three guys and build a team around them. That's not even counting all the other stars.
Right.
I start with those three. You don't have three guys that can match those three in the world.
Okay, but what about in three? Are they going to be in 3 years?
Okay, in 3 years, yes. We're not talking about 3 years.
Oh,
you're saying why haven't.
Yeah, why don't we have, like, more of them? It's like we got.
Really? Do you understand what a unicorn is?
I don't know.
Like, everybody wants more unicorns.
All the unicorns are from Serbia. Slovenia.
Yeah, that's true.
Or Greece.
Yeah. But they only got, like, one.
I know. Well, that's true. But,
but that's what I'm saying.
Canada and Serbia are probably the two most stacked. And Germany. Got to give respect.
Germany. I, for the life of me, still trying to figure out this Germany thing.
Yeah, me too.
Right? When the best player on the German team throughout the world comes off the bench. That doesn't happen in any other country.
Except the Super Cup.
Your star team, your star player is a star here.
Why are you looking at me like that, Jennifer? The Super Cup is a big deal.
Super big deal.
What is the Super Cup?
The Super Cup is a tournament in Germany to decide who wins the most super of the cups.
Oh, so it's so like glad. Preseason. Yeah. Oh, no, look at him.
He's scooting.
We're live? Yeah.
We're live. Right, we are live, Boy Wonder. You know what? I do best when we live. You want to know something? if you want to know about Tyler Hero's toughness going through, he scooted in here to go live on the radio.
That's weird. Man, you got. Well, I'm surprised you haven't souped that thing up yet.
Nah, man. You know what? Today, I've had everyone tell me what I need to put on my scooter. I'm like, you know what? Y'all worry about your own scooters.
Right. You got
my scooter. My scooter only.
Hey. Is that
which is so true that everybody telling you, like, I ain't going through enough now. I got a problem with my scooter. Right. My
I need an engine. They tell me to put brakes on it. Like, man, I'm good. Y'all worry about yourselves.
So, like, has it been hard getting around with that thing? Like, has it been a big pain in the ass? Like, or have you gotten used to it already?
Honestly, this is better than they had me on crutches at first, and that was
yeah. Your arms got
yeah. So this was 1 or 2 days after surgery, I got the scooter, and I've been rocking on the scooter since.
So, give us like the sense of this, man. So, people said this was I guess you tried to avoid the surgery. So, like, when did you finally be like, all right, we gotta do it to get right? Like, what was that whole process like for you?
Yeah, it was a.
Do me a favor, tilt that mic towards there.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, perfect. There you go, Tyler.
No, it was a weird long process. It happened in July, so I was born with like a little bone. I guess the doctor said that not everyone is born with. It's like a little microchip bone in the back of my ankle, and I've had it my whole life. Hasn't been an issue, but I guess over time with wear and tear, it can be bothered. So I guess it snapped off a little bit. And with the MRIs, you can't actually see the bone behind there if it's like snapped or moved. So that was like the whole weight up, because on the MRIs and everything, there was nothing that was showing up. But I was feeling a crazy pinch in my foot. So the pinch and then the MRIs weren't lining up. So it was just a matter of, like, time to see if it got better. And it just never got better. You know, we did three different shots of two PRPs and a cortisone. Nothing really improved it. And then I tried to ramp up and, like, work out on the court right before probably last week before I got the surgery, and it just I couldn't do it. So it's
that's how it happens with the hamate. Told you you got all them bones in your feet, and hands. Mm-hmm. They got to do either a special X-ray, or something to just see what's going
on. They did everything they could, and like the bone, it looked like it was good. Like, and then once they got in there, they seen that the bone was like hanging. It was just hanging there. So every time I would try to get to my toes, I was feeling like the sharp, like a sharp pinch.
Right.
And like I said, I couldn't play through it. I tried to, I couldn't. And
the thing of process, you were probably able to still move.
Yeah.
Like it wasn't stopping, you just felt that.
Yeah.
Right, like, which is weird. Like,
it was just a weird feeling. Like I was walking and I could run and we were doing different things, but it was like this certain angle, bro. I couldn't get to my toes in this angle. And I can already get to my toes on the angle now. So that's how I know it was they took the bone out. It was a tiny bone. They took it out. And,
dude, that's not tiny.
You save it?
Yeah, I got it. It's like a, it's like a mini like shark tooth. It was crazy. And it'll be good. The beauty of it is they didn't have to repair anything. They just took something out. So it's just a matter of my time or my skin healing and the incisions just calming down. And okay. I'll be ready to go.
I was curious about this, Tyler, because you stepped up a big way leadership wise last year with everything that went on. You took Kalel under your wing a little bit, but how much have you felt growth in that? Of like, hey, you're 25, but you're a vet. Like, this is, you know, you and Bam, kind of the figures. We talked to Goran about this summer, that he expects you guys to even go in a bigger fashion, just because it's going to be a lot cleaner, it feels like, this year. But from your standpoint, how much have you felt that, I guess, growth of a leader on the team?
Yeah, last year for sure, you know, I felt it a lot as everything kind of played out. And then, you know, this summer my goal was, you know, to really try to improve my leadership skills, being more vocal, and being able to just, you know, communicate differently, talk to my teammates, coaches. And I think this happened for a reason, because now I'm not on the court. I have to use my voice and talk and be around the guys even when I'm not playing. So that's the challenge for me in these next like 8 to 10 weeks, is just being as vocal as possible, being around the team as much as possible, even though I'm hurt. And then I'll hit the ground running. But I just want to be around and continue to lead and do things like that, and everything will take care of itself.
With all of the new guys and everybody getting situated, it seems like now you're getting to the point where y'all have a group of guys who you might be with for a couple of years, mm-hmm. and be consistent with. That seems to have been, you know, one of the issues in the past, is that you couldn't really build that bond because you weren't together. But it seems like now you have a group of guys with the additions, mm-hmm. With the guys that are no longer here, that now you have the same group of guys that y'all maybe going a little run or something.
Yeah, we're all young too. You know, obviously there's a Norman is a little older, Wiggs is a little older, but they're young guys at the end of the day. They're still young, you know.
Right.
And we have the rest of the guys on the team are a bunch of young guys who are hungry, mm-hmm. Don't really know much about the league, and are thirsty to know more. And like that's what we want, guys who can, you know, ultimately are hungry, want to come in, get better every single day. And you know, it's my Norman, Bam, Wiggs, like our jobs as leaders and vets to kind of push those guys and bring another level out of the young guys.
What have you been seeing from Kalel? Because Wiggins was saying like he's looked really impressive.
Yeah, he has. I feel like his energy and effort has been really high. You know, ever since coming back from summer league, he's really been, you know, focused on just his conditioning and getting right and ready for the season. I think Kalel will have a really big year.
You give him the old, hey, you got the first spoke call out publicly? Like, you like?
Yeah, I seen that in the summer. I definitely seen that. It was crazy. I actually was working with him like entire week, and then this happened. So like we were working out, and Kalel was at the workout when this happened. It was at Miami Dade College in Kendall. We were working out, and then unfortunately, I haven't worked out since. So I'm just chilling now.
How fired up were you that your Packers got Micah Parsons this year?
I was definitely fired up. We looked good the first 2 weeks. And
how unfired were you up when the Browns beat you?
Yeah, that was. I'm like, how do we beat the two best teams in the NFC, and then we lose to the Browns?
Hey man, it's football.
That is
Browns ain't bad either. They have a great defense.
They can't score. Just
can't score the ball, but yeah. They'll be all right.
Yeah, it's that is football. There's I don't know how with the injury it will affect this, but you're pretty damn close to passing LeBron all time for franchise scoring. What would that mean to you to be – I mean, you'd be top four at that point. You and Bam are heading towards some pretty impressive marks.
Yeah, I need to get healthy.
Yes.
Then we'll figure it out. But I seen that last year. I like that for sure. I want to be up there for sure. I gotta be around for a little bit longer, be healthy, and then I'll be up there.
Do you feel, from your standpoint, like, are you worried at all about, like, jumping in there with Norm? Like, you make this big acquisition for you guys, and obviously everybody wants to see what you guys can do as two of the most, like, potent scorers in the league. Mm-hmm. Is there anything that you have in your mind of, like, how to speed up that process? I know you kind of had this a little bit with Terry where you had to do that. Like, what's that process you think going to be like?
I think it's going to be easy, honestly. I think the way Norm plays, like, he's played with other really good players before, and he also is really good off the ball. Most really good players are good on the ball, not off the ball. And he's, like myself, we both can play on and off the ball. I think that's going to make a huge difference. You know, Norm's catch and goes. Like, when he catches it out of closeouts, he's really tough to guard. So I think that'll be important, just being able to balance who has the ball in their hands and who doesn't, and just sharing the ball, playing the right way, which Norman does all the time. So
I know you're much more fashionable than me. But why did you let that person trick you into bleaching your eyebrows, dude? Like, I don't know. that was such a sneaky move on that. I saw the YouTube video of that. She's like, oh, no, you're going to love it, dude. Like, I promise. Like, did you have to be polite afterwards when you bleached the eyebrows, or did you actually dig the look?
I was actually in London for a Nike commercial that's going to come out in the next month or so. So y'all will see the commercial. But it was she caught me off guard. She just was like, yeah, they want you to bleach your hair. So I'm like, all right, I'm not doing that. So it was like, well, we got to do your eyebrows or something. So I was like, all right, let's do it. Let's see what it looks like. She did it. And I thought it didn't look too bad. I'll tell you this.
We were all confused,
you
though.
You don't like it?
Hey, man. Hey, I'll tell you.
I texted Mike before. I said, hey, I'm not going crazy over
this
here.
This is how it goes.
For a commercial, just so y'all know.
There's a couple things that guys don't do. We don't mess with eyebrows. You could bleach everything else over your body, but we ain't going that far when we touching eyebrows. When a dude come and he got his eyebrows done, he get a funny look. I'm just saying. Like, hold on, come on. Hey, and then he call over. Hey, y'all see what Tyler did? Like, no, we don't touch eyebrows.
I hear you.
Yeah. Listen,
you're gonna take swings that we don't take. Like, right? No. You and D Wade are gonna step into like fashion boxes that others just won't. And I think you'll probably be like, all right, I'm gonna give that a ride.
She was like, most people won't do this, but I feel like you'll actually like it. So I was like, let's try it, and I liked it.
Well,
I might bring it back just for the first night.
No, you ain't
going to
bring it back.
Or
no,
first night
you
back.
You can't bring it back before you play, right? Because they're going to say, he ain't have nothing to do. He went on the bleach thing again. He bored.
I need something to do with my time.
Please don't make that.
Do the kiddos like the scooter? Are they trying to mess around with it?
Yeah, my daughter's she's taking care of me. She's trying to figure out what's going on, and told her dad had to get surgery, and she's pretending to be like the doctor and all this other stuff. So it's all right. Bringing the scooter around the house and hitting all the short angles and tight angles. So it's been fun at the house, too.
Well, wish you a speedy recovery, man. Can't wait to see you back on the court. Always appreciate it when you stop by.
Thank you.
We'll take a break from Miami Heat Media Day. Thanks to Tyler Hero. We'll take a break back after this.
Are you looking for a podcast about pro football that doesn't put you to sleep with an avalanche of analytics or insult your fandom with brainless hot takes? Well, hi. I'm Dan Hanzis.
And I'm Mark Sessler.
Oh, hi, Mark. And we're the hosts of Heed the Call, the NFL podcast you've been waiting your whole life for.
Heed the Call covers every game, every storyline, everything that matters, and we do it all with a touch of mirth.
Football is fun. Why shouldn't your football podcast be the same?
Follow and listen to Heed the Call NFL podcast wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, everybody.
Oh, it would have been great if this was discussed before we start slapping the table with dominoes.
Talking about this match now for so long.
If I give you change...
Well, I mean, he's a world traveler. I can't catch up with the dude. Like, every time I see him, you taking pictures. Oh, I say, who is that? Yeah, where he at?
Tell us about this Michael Jordan party in Greece. That looked incredible. Epic. That looked incredible.
See what I'm saying?
When you get the MJ party invite, that's got to be a big moment.
Yeah, honestly, very, very cool moment because, obviously, You know, he was the GOAT to my GOAT, which is Kobe Bryant. And to be able to, one, just see him as a normal person.
Yeah.
You know, we all see him for Michael Jordan. But, you know, having that party and being around him, we got to see him in a different light that wasn't basketball.
Mm-hmm.
It was more so getting down, sitting down, having a conversation, getting to be able to, you know, mingle, talk, and leave basketball out the way and just talk like men.
Unless you want to compete, he will.
Nah,
that's his 100%. Attitude changed.
That's 100%.
No, about any that's dude, 100%. About anything.
That's 100%.
You ain't even got to say it. If you say, "Hey, Mike, I bet you," he just changed.
But that's what makes him so
yes.
great. Yeah. He's willing to compete with
yes.
anything.
Yes.
Bam. No defensive teams last year, man.
Crazy.
That's crazy.
By the way,
what was your reaction to that?
I mean, we had a lot of turmoil and ups and downs throughout the season, so I understand, you know, certain all-star factors. But when it comes to defense, we've had a top 10 defense in, what, last 6 years?
Yeah.
So my point is, that didn't change.
Right.
Me being on the court and off the court defensively, you can see how the number spikes. So my thing is, what's the criteria at this point? Do y'all just get tired of voting for me at this point? Is it voters fatigue? Because there's no way if we have a top 10 defense.
That somebody
else gets over me and yeah. their team doesn't make the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
Or they're last in their conference. Like that, you're just voting for somebody because you're like, oh, well, like he's up and coming. And it's like, I get that. But if it isn't top 10 or better, then how do you –
right.
Technically put them.
He ain't changing the game.
Your whole, it was weird hearing the whole national narrative on you because you basically had like two weird months around the rim where like you just couldn't get bunnies to drop.
It was just
strange.
It wouldn't fall.
And yeah. then we saw the 3-point element that you added, which you did take the jump like you said you would. So do you feel like even, I know the season wasn't up to your guys' standard. I'm just talking personally. Like, did you feel like it rounded into where you wanted it to, or do you feel like there are things that you want to get better on both ends, I guess, just as it comes to a whole?
I mean, every season I want to be better at something. Obviously, being more consistent from the three. Everybody's obsessed with this at this point, which is hilarious. But also getting us to a top five defense. At that point, I'll be – probably considered for first team all defense again or you know maybe DPOY you know is the criteria moves a lot.
Is that the most frustrating thing? Because you know other players in the league or people that know basketball can watch and see what you do or when teams game plan for you defensively and try to get you into other situations that you thinking everybody else in the league know they got to contend with me, and I can't get voted for nothing. Like, why don't you just ask who's voting on this?
And that's why I would much rather, you know, if it was up to me, like, I love media votes, but I would also want the player votes.
Because you're playing against them.
Because
guys.
You're playing against. Right. You're playing against me. And it's a lot of guys that's been in that box before. For me, man, it's just. I think it's becoming a political thing at this point. Like now it's more so like who can talk themselves into DPOY or what team is winning right now. So
we ain't gonna mention no names.
What team is winning right now so we can ride that wave as media. Like mm-hmm. that to me is not, that's not how you pick the DPOY, obviously. But it'll shift at some point. You know, we were number one at one point in, what, two or three seasons ago, and nobody really knew because right. we weren't talked about in the media realm. So it's like
when you have
things like that happening, it's like you kind of see it from the outside looking in, and, you know, having somebody, UD, now being a part of – the media, you know, you hear the other side of it now.
Right.
Him and D-Wade, that Amazon team.
Yeah, because yeah. I used to wonder what the inside of the studios was like when I was like, how do y'all not put put me up there, and I'm like, it's not a lot of centers that you can be like, all right, in a playoff game, we're going to start you on Jason Tatum.
Right.
I don't know a lot of people that are going to put their centers on Jason Tatum. That's just my take for things. I don't see a lot of people do it. But then also I can go from guarding Jason Tatum to guarding Nikola Jokic.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Not a lot of people that versatile.
You think that has to do with just, you know, the last couple years not having the success that you had previously had, even though, like, without defense, it wouldn't even been that close. And they picking off all these players like, oh, they finished top five in the conference. We got to put somebody on there.
Yeah, it's one of those things where it's like, we're our top three, so we got to give them something.
Yeah.
And that, I think that's unfair for a lot of people, because I'm like, if that's the case, you can just give anybody any – like.
Yeah, well, I mean, you guys were the one seed. They gave it to Marcus Smart for that year, you know.
Yeah, and then we bite that.
I think that's what he was referring to when he was talking about.
Huh? No.
I'm just saying what happened.
Not at all.
I said it. He ain't have nothing to do with it. I said it. We have some guys out there that's out there advertising for awards and whatever, and your play should speak for itself. Simple as that. I'm going to say it.
I think a lot of people, though, they get a lot of awards because they're seen on national television a lot.
Sure.
Which is another thing. That's one thing. So I can't make the national TV just be like, watch us. And then I don't feel like I'm not one of the people like I can't sit and beg the media either. Like that just doesn't feel comfortable to me. Like I shouldn't have to beg for something I feel like I should have won.
Right. I got you.
Or deserve to be on a first defensive team.
You got to do what the other guys do. You know what? I don't even want it no more. You know, that's like, right? We're just saying, the guys that get voted for the Hall of Fame, I ain't even thinking, I don't even want it no more. And then all of a sudden they get elected 3 years in a row. Like, yeah. But I'm just saying, like.
Man, it's okay.
Yeah. From a team perspective, like Leroy mentioned, not what you guys' standard is. Like, how did you reflect on this whole year? And I guess getting back, because I know how competitive you are. You want to, you know, get to the absolute top of what the organization's standards are. So how hard was sitting on what last year was? And then, I guess, what's your excitement about this level and this year?
Man, just mentally it took a toll. You know, for all of us throughout the season, it was just, you know, it feel like you take three step forwards and it's four steps back.
Right.
Three step forward, four steps back. It's like, right. And it was just these constant waves of unknown, like energy and waves.
Right.
So, you know, having to deal with that, and obviously we weren't playing the best and trying to figure out. Everybody's individually trying to figure out, like, what's wrong with them.
Right.
You know, when you got everybody individually trying to figure out what's wrong with them, that's when the bigger problem comes, because now they're like, my shot's off. So now they're worrying about their shots. And, you know, it's a collective thing. Everything goes together. And I just feel like last season we weren't, all of us, coaches included, we just weren't in a good headspace.
Right.
And coming in this season now, I feel like everybody's, you know, we're in a great headspace, looking to move forward and try to figure this thing out.
How fired up are you to have Norm Powell on the team this year?
Norm is cool. I'm not going to gas him up too much. Y'all been asking me a lot of questions about this man. I hope you can hear me, Norm. Not gassing up anybody named Norman. But, you know, I feel like he's going to bring, obviously, the scoring. Everybody sees scoring. But just new energy to the team.
Right.
You know, a different energy, different dynamic. And, you know, trying to figure out, you know, how we make this thing work.
Wiggins probably be more comfortable.
Yeah.
Like, you got some guys that play some defense.
We got some guys that, you know, they got chips on their shoulder. You know, I feel like a lot of them last year, like Norm, you know, I feel like he should have been an all-star.
Right.
And he wasn't. So I feel like going to the season, he wants to prove he can be that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not to the masses, but to himself. Like, right. Sometimes it's about proving yourself right. You know, me wanting to get back to all-star form, like all defensive teams in the conversation of DPOY, even, you know, edging my name to the point it's all NBA. Like, That's to prove myself right, that I could do it, not to prove anybody else. When Tyler gets healthy, obviously he was an all-star last year. He wants to continue his streak of being all-star.
Right.
And, you know, being one of those go-to guys in the league.
You obviously, though, you don't want to gas up Norm, but you obviously would want to gas up Khalil Ware.
100%.
Like, this is are you excited to see what year two brings for him?
Yeah. I've been hard on him these last couple weeks, 3 weeks, being in the gym together, because, you know, I know what the potential he has and what he can bring to this team. So he's probably looking at me like I'm crazy now, and low-key probably getting annoyed with me, but that's fine. Like, I'm okay with that. As long as he understands I'm doing it for the right reason and not just to fucking bother you. I'm doing it for the reason of you can help move this needle of this team.
Did you feel like you handled the Spo call out okay? Like you know, the Spo doesn't do the media thing in a while. So, like, yeah. When he got that, I was like, oh, let's see. And he had, like, that big game in the summer. So did you talk to him about that at all? Or is that something that, like, you know, you feel like that's coming from a place of just improvement for him?
It wasn't even about the, you know, when all that was happening. And, you know, I lead differently. I text him on some just checking in. And, it, you know, I text him and be like, well, what's up, Khalil? And he was like, man, I know I got to do better, yada, yada. Like, I know I got to fix it. And I was like, bro, listen, it's not even about that. Like, but, you know, you've been hearing it for 48 hours at this point,
yeah.
To where, like, you automatically think whoever is associated with the team is texting you about that.
Right.
No, I'm literally just solely just checking.
What's up?
Yeah, it's a total different. Right. It's a total different thing. And that to me is how you bank equity with people. That's how you get them to get on the same wavelength as you. When
you ain't piling on.
You're not checking on them when stuff is wrong.
Right.
And it's a whole bunch of chaos, and you're trying to add to the chaos. You know, you're trying to tell them, well, I think you should do this. Nah. You know what you did wrong because our coach wouldn't have said nothing.
Right.
So, like, the fact that you know, I don't have to say anything about it because I know how you're going to play the next game. It's going to be fired up. It's going to be some middle finger to you, Spo. Like,
right.
That, but you like to see games like that. So, for me, man, it's basically like just banking that equity with people on a whole different level than that. Just being able to check in and see how his mental is. Obviously, you're going through a lot, but, you know, we can sit down and have a conversation. And it ain't got to be nothing about that.
Right.
We could talk about cats, dogs, rain, snow, whatever you want to talk about. 15 minutes, then we go on about our day.
Right. Bam Adebayo, appreciate you stopping by, man. Thanks. We're looking forward to a great year, and appreciate when you always give us time.
Yep.
Take a break. Back after this.
Football is fun. Why shouldn't your football podcast be the same?
Follow and listen to Heed the Call NFL Podcast with Dan Hansis and Mark Sessler wherever you get your podcasts.
Our neighborhood favorite Kryptonian, Khalil Ware. Let me ask you something, man. You got those things registered? Yeah, man. Look at that, Leroy.
What are we doing?
Look at that.
This dude. You have to understand. What? So when things aren't going great in sports, right? He's looking for anything to, like, hang on to. So he comes to me. He says, look at this. Look at Khalil. Look at that. Look at that.
Gym rat.
Gym rat.
Gym rat.
He working out.
Gym rat.
Look at him. He's glistening.
No, but
he's like, look at him put on.
Dude,
I'm
not even joking. Khalil, I was at draft night, and Zoe was telling me you were in the gym like crazy this summer. So, like, what has this summer been like for you?
I mean, like Zoe said, just in the gym, in the weight room. You know, trying to work on my craft, get stronger, gain some weight, and, you know, come back this season a little stronger.
So. What was the did you go out? Like, did you lay a blueprint out? Like, does that happen with the organization? Do you do that personally? Like, what was the plan you set out for the summer?
I mean, well, my main plan myself was to, you know, to get stronger. You know, Spo, you know, everybody on the staff, they already had a plan set out for me to also, you know, get stronger, you know, to get better at, you know, certain things on the court, you know, just attacking the ball, you know, off the perimeter, you know, putting the ball on the floor, you know, being stronger in the paint with the ball. So, yeah.
From this summer, though, like, you had the whole thing with the Vegas Summer League with the, like, did you take that personally? Did you like that? We were talking to Bam a little bit about that. Like, it's kind of a welcome to the Heat moment when Spo's expecting more. You like that's a that should be a good thing.
No, yeah, for sure. Yeah, I took it as motivation. You know, just to get better, to like play better in the games that I was doing. Because I guess I was slacking a little bit. So yeah.
I mean, like, you think it's always like, I don't know why everybody thinks like an athlete gets offended if they coach or somebody, you know, yells at them or whatever, or gets on them about their play. Like, a lot of times it comes from a place of care.
No, I mean, you know? They're the coach for the reason.
Right, so, right.
Yeah, they know what they're doing.
Right. So I wanted to ask you, because I remember Shaq saying it was easier to play against Yao Ming than it was some of the smaller guys. And so would you, like, when you practice against everybody else on your team, so say when you work against Bam, or somebody like that, is it more difficult, even though Bam's a great defender, that they're that much shorter than you, and then when you get to play some of the bigger guys, then you match up for them, you're better for it?
I mean, yeah, I would say, yeah, just because, like, what Shaq said with the little guys is they are already, like, I guess, low to the ground, so they get right in your legs. Yeah,
right.
So. It's more that you really have to do, but when someone's taller, you know, they playing you really like straight up too. And then
right.
If you're quicker than them, you can just go past them. So.
Right.
Who throws the best lobs on the team? Because I got to tell you, man, when I watched you and Nico play, I was like, man, that's something. Like, are you surprised for somebody as big as Nico how good he is? Because you guys, even like your bounce passes to him, is amongst even the guards, is Nico the best lob thrower on the team?
Nico can definitely throw them, but I would have to give that to Pella.
Really?
Pella. Yeah. If you go back and watch Summer League, yeah.
Pella, I'll give it to Pella. Pella's so fascinating, man, because he's kind of like one of these hockey players. Seems very laid back. But every time I see him on the court and either he's celebrating, he turns into a maniac. Like, do you see that with him too?
Yeah, no. Pella's a crazy dog for sure. He's a crazy dog.
Do you notice that? You're like, hey, man, you're not, or is he like that off the court? We just don't see it.
No, Pella's pretty chill off the court, but whenever it's time to, you know, lock in and, you know, actually put your head in the game, he's going to do that. So,
how was your summer? What did anything fun besides the basketball?
Yeah. I went to Egypt.
Yeah, so, yeah. Did you ride a camel?
I did, yes. Yeah.
What the hell was that like?
Did the camel give you the look? Like, come on, guy. What are we doing here?
No. The camel, It was a fun experience. It was a weird, I guess, getting up situation when I was on a camel, but it was nice though.
So, like, how fast does one go on a camel?
No. Camels are slow.
Really?
Yeah, camels are slow. We taking our time.
You know, they just gonna walk slowly too.
They're just going at their pace.
Yeah.
Wow. All right. So, like, what was were the pyramids all they cracked up to be?
Yeah, no, the pyramids was, I seen like one like corner of the block. It was from, I don't know, it's humongous. But it's, when you actually like look at it, you got to like try to figure out like how people like really, like I guess like built the pyramid.
That's the most fascinating thing,
yeah,
because
right? There's no way somebody like without a machine did that. No, there's no way.
Right.
That's people don't got questions about those pyramids, Leroy. People got questions about how those pyramids got there. What? Don't look at me like that, dude. I was just asking questions.
You know, they had different technology, but they had very smart people back then, too.
That's fair. That's fair.
You know what I mean? We tend to think because we have computers and we have this. You know, guess what? When I was a kid, we didn't have cell phones. Yeah. We would have never thought that a cell phone would ever be around. It happens.
Well, so you got to meet Adam Sandler. He sat by. What was that experience like?
That was nice, you know, especially from seeing his movies and seeing like how he is as a person. So, just like the way you see him in his movies, he's like that. Like he's like that in person.
He don't dress up. He wears the same clothes.
He's the definition of a chill guy. So yeah.
He was probably his favorite thing was probably just to get on the court with you guys.
No, yeah, exactly. Like he loved hooping. So
that's pretty fun thing. Kalel Ware joining us here. I'm curious about this. Nikola Jovic and you guys, like I said, you guys have a good chemistry. Do you see, I guess, going into this, people would look at the starting lineups and maybe it's you, maybe it's him. How do you look at that? Do you look at that going into this as a competition, even though you guys have a lot of good chemistry, or just whatever the roles are, they become?
I mean, no, it's whatever the roles are, whatever Spo, you know, decides to go with, you know, we can't really go against that. But I feel like that's more of a, I guess that's more of a compliment to Nico, you know, because he's able to play. those positions like that, or any 4, 5, 3, you know, whatever position in that range. So
you watch any of Eurobasket with him?
I did not know. I think I was traveling.
You're the only one that watched that, man.
Dude, I'm sorry. Okay, but they were on. It was very easy times. Like, you know, it felt like I had to buy like a whole new app to figure it out. And then, like, I was watching him versus, like, I got to watch Pella versus, like, Portugal, or him versus, I don't know, Iceland. I didn't know Iceland had a basketball team. That was kind of nice. And I liked seeing Nico. He was very froggy. Like, he was yelling at people. He was getting technical. He was getting teed up.
No, Nico was open.
It's something. You know, he's kind of like Pella in that regard. Well, like, you don't think that he's gonna lose his mind and go crazy. But I don't know. Maybe it's the Serbian thing. I don't know.
Probably so. I think it's just the whole overseas.
Are you looking for a podcast about pro football that doesn't put you to sleep with an avalanche of analytics or insult your fandom with brainless hot takes? Well, hi. I'm Dan Hanzus.
And I'm Mark Sessler.
Oh, hi, Mark. And we're the hosts of Heed the Call, the NFL podcast you've been waiting your whole life for.
Heed the Call covers every game, every storyline, everything that matters, and we do it all with a touch of mirth.
Football is fun. Why shouldn't your football podcast be the same?
Follow and listen to Heed the Call NFL podcast wherever you get your podcasts.